This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. Now we're going all sensible now, Tass, aren't we?
Well, we're actually going to continue a theme that we began last weekend.
Yes. Which was?
So last weekend we were talking about domestic violence.
Yes.
And the impact it's having on our community, and we thought that it would be of interest to our listeners to ask the new chief executive of a new organisation called Respect Victoria, Tracy Gaudry, who's just been appointed. I pronounced that correctly, Tracy.
Perfect pronunciation.
Perfectly, fantastic.
It's a one-off, actually.
As you can imagine, I always have dramas with my name. It's just part of the course. So it's great to have you in the studio. Firstly, may I congratulate you on your appointment.
Thank you very much. Yes. It's a very responsible role, but also a privilege to be working on behalf of our whole community.
Yes, yes. And you've, of course, come from a completely different sector, which I think is really exciting. You've come out of football, I understand.
I have come out of football. There's a big match on this afternoon, actually. But probably not as far outside of the sector as most would recognise. My professional career started as a research statistician in epidemiology, so medical health and community health. And of my recent CEO positions, the one prior to my role as CEO of Hawthorne, which is obviously the news headline, is as the CEO of the Amy Gillett Foundation, which is also a behaviour change organisation focusing on wellbeing of underrepresented people in our community, vulnerable road users. So there's a lot of relevance that's being brought to the fore, plus the ability of a professional that has tapped into many sectors because we need to draw our whole community and everyone who influences our community with us.
Yes. So Respect Victoria, tell us all about it. What's it meant to do? It did come out of the Royal Commission into Domestic Violence that this current government initiated
several
years ago.
And that Fiona Richardson spoke at length to us about.
Yes, yes.
Unfortunately, We had that. Fiona is no longer with us, but it came out of the Royal Commission and a need for, I think people frankly were surprised at the extent and the reach of domestic violence. Those of us who've experienced or observed it were not surprised. A lot of the community out there, this is a subject that people didn't want to talk about. And we are talking about it. So
Tracy, tell us about the organisation, its purpose. What are you going to be doing?
Thank you. Respect Victoria embodies its title, the community of Victorians, 6.38 million and counting. And Respect, which is a behaviour and an attitude that we want to embody across all parts of our community, across all cohorts, and we'll talk about specifically LGBTI communities here today as we go forward. Respect Victoria is 1 week and 2 days old.
Wow.
But
still crawling.
It's many, many years coming to fruition. And certainly, Macca, as you mentioned, it's one of the recommendations of the Royal Commission into Family Violence that was launched in late 2015. And the recommendations came out in early 2016. It's recommendation 188, to be exact. And 2 years later, 2.5 years later, Respect Victoria was created. It's Victoria's first and Australia's only dedicated family violence prevention agency, and the word prevention is key. Its focus is to galvanise and complement the work that's already been done in the family violence prevention sector, noting that what we call primary prevention, which is stopping family violence before it starts, there is nowhere near as much work being done in that sector as there is in what we call secondary prevention and tertiary prevention. That is intervention, when instances occur and response on how to manage situations. So we're bringing forward the work that's being done to focus on prevention throughout our community, working with the organisations already in the space to amplify their work, to evaluate what's working and not what's not, and importantly to address and to recognise that family violence has many shapes and forms and it affects different cohorts of our community in different ways. And big word, intersectionality, cohorts intersect with each other. So we've got a massive job ahead of us.
So what does that mean? Can you just tease that out a little bit?
Which part? The big word?
The bit about the intersecting cohorts.
Fantastic. It's a Saturday morning, so we're rolling out the big word.
Well, I'm just trying to get away from the jargon. Yeah. You know, so, I hear this in the public service.
So let's put that down to – and I've come from outside the public service, so it's really useful. And I'll talk about how Respect Victoria can be really effective in just a moment. But when we look at family violence and we look at how our community is comprised and brought together, you know, we've all seen the massive amount of work, and rightfully so, done with the contribution of gender-based discrimination. And that when we look at a bell curve, if you're a statistician out there, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Significant percentage of family violence is violence of a male against a female intimate or former intimate partner, and there's a lot of work being done in that space. We've got to look at discrimination in all of its forms in its in our community. And when we say cohorts, we're saying, you know, that's cohorts of women, that is discrimination against aged people, discrimination against young people, it's discrimination against people of different cultures and ethnic backgrounds, and importantly, discrimination of people with differing sexualities or sexual inclinations and decisions, and importantly, the LGBTI community. So when we talk at cohorts, we talk about groups of people defined by certain characteristics, and many of those characteristics intersect. So that's what we've got to work with, a very complex community, frankly, Victoria, you know, its multiculturalism and its diversity is something that we celebrate.
Yes.
But at the same time, that comes within it, you know, tens of thousands of years of cultural discrimination and then structural discrimination that we need to unwind. Mm. It's a big job.
One thing, look, I want to ask Tracy is, you know, we've been talking, and I understand all that, and that, you know, they're... Domestic violence isn't just physical violence. It's emotional violence. It's psychological violence.
Financial violence.
Financial. And one thing that I was wondering, and Tess and I were talking about this before the show, that all that's going on out there, all the discussions, and where discussions become heated or where people become agitated or where it becomes controversial, and often this then makes its way back into... the domestic environment. And call the domestic, I mean where you live and sometimes where you work. So that the environment we're in, you're almost, you know, you're working against, sorry, not working against, you're challenging people to consider all these matters in an environment where people often are staking out ground, unreasonable positions, and they're then taking that. So it's a bit of a long-winded question. Does this feed into, you know, some of these issues, doesn't matter what they are, that people feel really passionate about? Do you have any sort of a handle on how that then plays out into the domestic violence area? Is there a connection with the society that we live in and the issues that become topical and controversial? Does that, just in your own, do you have a feeling for that in any way?
Yes.
Yep.
So I'm going to distill.
No,
that.
No, please. Good, because I can't.
I was struggling myself.
When we look at the culture of society and societies, you know, culture is born of, you know, attitudes and behaviours that go way, way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can talk quantums in, you know, years, decades, centuries, etc. With that becomes structural elements that formalise cultural attitudes and behaviours. So, you know, hierarchy.
So in other words, some of our institutions start to actually then play out some of those attitudes.
And they become not only informally but formally. And, you know, when we look at...
For example, women get paid at a different rate than men.
Yes. So,
gender. For example, facilities that disclude women from being able to involve. Football's an example. You know, many of the football facilities didn't have women's change rooms.
Yeah.
Mm.
For example, workplaces. Subconscious bias in terms of, you know, applicants being fit for purpose for certain roles. Mm. And over time, as society recognises that discrimination is both conscious and subconscious, structural and unstructured, it's about bringing more equal structures into our community. And we've seen that in probably very overt ways, for example, with gender, of having quotas on boards, for example, which are almost what we'd call fabricated ways of achieving a greater, you know, balancing the scales. Then we can take those quotas away once our behaviour is adapted.
Yes.
And we look at that in different pockets of society. And when we look at the community of listeners that I'm hoping are out there listening in intently, and we're here to listen and learn, by the way, and that's critical for us. We don't know enough. And that's part of why Respect Victoria is here, is to say, what are those structural barriers? You know, what are the conscious behaviours that are impacting the way our members of a community are being treated, and therefore that then carries into places where they should feel safe and secure? And when you think of family violence, and we think of family as safety, fundamentally that word, and whatever the contract of family looks like. So it's changing structures, breaking apart structures that are discriminatory. It's addressing conscious behaviours. But importantly, it's also about bringing to the fore subconscious behaviour and subconscious discrimination, and having us call out, that was discriminatory. If you were in the minority, or if you were a member of an underrepresented group, how would that impact you and the opportunities you perceived and the way you carried yourself in life, your confidence to go forward? So it's by addressing subconscious behaviours that we're actually conscious about them shifting, and then the subconscious behaviour has changed.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Tracy Gaudry, CEO of Respect Victoria. And one thing that's Cass and I love, we love evidence-based outcomes.
Of course.
And some people on the far left and the far right don't like that. But we like evidence-based outcomes, which, you know where you get them from? You get them from research. So I'm interested how much research, Tracy, has been done. I suspect not as much as we would like, and probably less than we think, because you can't actually progress with your work beyond a certain point unless you know.
Do you mean in relation to our communities, Mac?
Well, I mean all communities.
Yeah, okay.
All communities. I mean, I am interested in LGBTI family violence, but all communities. I want to know about the research that's been done and what you are doing.
It's a really critical question, and when we look at the establishment of Respect Victoria, Respect Victoria was born of the Royal Commission into Family Violence, and its establishment is to focus on two key areas of what's called the Free From Violence strategy. Those two key areas are research and evaluation and community engagement and communications. What you've already seen are community campaigns called Call It Out that are in the marketplace, and we are behind the scenes developing campaigns to address and call out, and I'll get to research in a moment, it's critical, call out discrimination against aged people, against young people, against the LGBT community. That's campaigns, and that's raising awareness.
So campaigns is one of the things that you'll be doing then.
However, that's at the other end of the spectrum once we've already got the issue.
It's not preventing
the risk's turned into an issue. And so as we mentioned in the first part of the this discussion, you know, primary prevention is about stopping family violence before it starts. We've been focusing for decades on intervention and response. The number one pillar for Respect Victoria is research and evaluation. To understand, and the first thing is, we recognise, and the Victorian government recognises, we don't have the answers. Mm. If we did have the answers, we wouldn't have to come into existence. So it's firstly understanding what research has been done across the board in the prevention sector. That's within Victoria, Australia-wide, and indeed internationally. We're the only entity in Australia with this focus, and we believe we're one of only two or three worldwide.
Wow.
So that shows how much work needs to be done. That then helps us understand, okay, if there's research done, what programs have been implemented to address what our findings, and then have we evaluated the success of those? So if you look at that on a macro scale across our whole community, you then break that into different community cohorts and then how they intersect. You can both see in front of me, I've got a bunch of papers because we're listening, learning, understanding as we go. Not enough work has been done with respect to the LGBTI community. Not enough work has been done across all of our communities. And so that just shows that part of this journey is for us to listen, to engage with this with the community, and that's why I'm so pleased to be here so early on in our mission. And thanks, can we keep coming back to this conversation?
Please, yes, please.
And that when we undertake our research, it's about engaging with the community throughout that journey. And when we implement programs, it's actually working with the community so that we've got that feedback loop.
Yeah.
And that we can set benchmarks today that we will seek to make improvements against in the future.
And I understand all that, you know, it's like the sausage machine. The research is the meat goes in, you turn it around, you not necessarily mince it up, but you then create at the end, okay, well, this is what we need to respond to, and this is why, and this is where it's happening. These are the things that input to it. There's a lot of urban myths around LGBTI family violence. Those of us who've experienced it think it's at a very high level. Most of our community probably would say we don't, you know, they're not aware of it at all. Family violence is an issue that people don't like to talk about. But in terms of, you know, the LGBTI community, I suspect there's even less research or less evidence. So how do you counter that, and how, if at all, is it different to in other communities?
The core issue is we don't have enough research to understand what's different and what's not. We don't know. You know, there's a lot of hypotheses.
Yeah.
We don't know whether the incidence of family violence with respect to members of the LGBTI community is higher or not to incidence of family violence in a heterosexual community. We don't know, and then within our LGBTI communities, which factors contribute to the...
Which are unique, yeah.
And so we've got a really complex community that we're working with, trying to support and trying to understand. And so the word may be higher, you know, more prevalent.
We don't know.
We're using lots of maybes. And part of the early work that's been done, and indeed one of the papers that we're working through to bring to the fore and then own what we do next, is a research project that was commissioned by our own government last year that contains 9 recommendations for us as Respect Victoria to take forward to continue doing research. And the bit that I'm probably thinking, if I was a listener, is you're talking about research, you know, where's the answers?
Mm.
We don't have the answers yet, but we know where to start, and we will be listening to all of the organisations that have been working with us so far, and importantly, listening and working with the community.
So I had a quick look at your website, for example, earlier on this morning, and it in a sense, it shows that research, evaluation, campaigns... are your main tools, but the other one was endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, you've done the research, which is fantastic.
Oh, he loves a bit of evidence. He loves it.
So research and evaluation, you know, where are the gaps? How do we address them? How do we evaluate if they're working? You know, how do we adapt those to other parts of our community? Endorsement is about establishing programs with organisations and groups that influence our communities. And this is why we'll talk about sectors beyond the family, the primary prevention sector, that It's like having the Heart Foundation tick of approval.
Got it.
Your program has been proven to be effective against our valuation methods, and it actually recognises that entities and organisations are effectively working towards reducing family violence. And so, you know, we will be looking at sectors, you know, including education, corporate sector, you know, the not-for-profit sector, sport, media is critical. And so that endorsement program enables us to recognise organisations that are working actively with us.
Great.
Look, I think one of the challenges here, Tracy, is we've got past the point where people felt uncomfortable talking about domestic violence. I think people now, I'm not saying they're entirely comfortable, but they acknowledge it and they talk about it, and it's in the public domain. You know, organisations such as yourself are talking about it. The challenge we have is, as you've identified, we don't have enough hard data, enough research to inform what's causing it, how to challenge it, how to stop it, how to deal with it. It's going to be a journey of many, many, many years, isn't it, to actually see, because once we know what the causes are, apart from what we think the causes might be.
Well, you can intervene.
Once we actually know, then you can intervene. So this is going to be a long journey, isn't it?
We're looking at generational behaviour change, and you know, for those of us who have been in the behaviour change spectrum, and I'm hoping many listeners have been in roles or involved in projects and programs, we know it works, behaviour change, but we know it takes a lot of time. And you know, for us to work alongside sectors that have successfully established and implemented and evaluated behaviour change programs over decades, road safety sectors, you know, critical. But road safety, there's cultural elements to road safety, but we're dealing with a much more complex set of circumstances here.
Well, our other examples would be HIV and smoking cessation, for example. Yeah.
So we know we've done it before. We're dealing with considerably more complex circumstances here. And as you mentioned, the reticence to acknowledge, I'd say there is still some reticence.
Oh, yeah, there is.
It's
difficult.
But when we bring that to the fore and enabling ourselves to have the conversations, we're enabling ourselves to recognise that work needs to be done. And our first port of call is to establish the type of research that we need to undertake, and noting that it is a long game, and that's why we need to keep coming back to the table to have these conversations.
And, I mean, there are, you know, in our community, there are a number of organisations, Joy being one of them, the largest LGBTI member in terms of members organisation in Australia, that, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, this organisation would be happy to help you with some of that survey work, you know, other organisations. I mean, do the research to get the facts to know how we can intervene or how we can, as a community, put a stop to this, don't we?
We do, and firstly, I really welcome the opportunity for the Joy community to be engaged with us. You know, as we are developing, you know, our behaviour change campaigns, we need to be working deeply with communities to help us get them right.
Yeah.
Importantly, to help respect the community whose outcomes we're trying to improve. We can't do that based on theory. We've got to do that based on working with people. So let's pick up on that when we come back in next time.
Mm. Tracy, we would love to have you back in the studio many more times going into the future, because obviously this is going to be a set of subjects that will be of great interest to our community.
We've thought about this for a while, Tass. We need to do a show.
Oh, yeah, we will.
On this, and we've had discussions with many other media people. Okay, we've had this discussion with Neil Mitchell to do a joint broadcast again. This issue, we've got to get a handle on it, and we've got to fix it.
Yeah. Tracy, before you do go, if any of our listeners wish to engage with any of the work that you're doing or learn more about it, what's the best way to do that? Go to your website?
So firstly, go to our website, respectvictoria.vic.gov.au. Importantly, on our website are our contact details. Call us, write to us at contact at respectvictoria.vic.gov.au. We literally, as I mentioned before, we are 1 week and 2 days old.
Yeah.
Yes.
As we go...
1 year and 2 days.
1 week
one
and
week.
2 days.
Oh, 1 week?
Yes.
And
we're very lucky to have Tracy.
We are building our team day by day, and so critically research team, communications team, engagement team, please write to us.
Yeah.
Please, offer your support, give us comments, ask us questions, share issues. That's the best way to get involved. And when we come back on deck in however many weeks or months' time, let's talk about how we take that further.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Good. Fantastic.
Tracy Gaudry, thank you very much.
Yes.
Chief Executive of newly established organisation Respect Victoria, exactly 9 days old.
A week and 2 days.
Isn't that great?
It is.
Thanks,
it's been
Tess.
Fantastic to have you
thank
here.
You.
So
thanks,
thank you
Macca.
For responding to our request and making us such a high priority in your obviously very busy schedule in these very early days.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.